Final hour of the show. Thanks for joining us. 654-ROAR if you want to get in. We're going to hear from Ben Boulware shortly. First, let me tell you about Arthrex. We talk all the time about Arthrex that are available at any given time, but they're changing constantly because they're filling these jobs. They're creating new jobs. They're promoting people out of jobs. That's how you get openings at Arthrex. And they're all over the spectrum of the different categories and the different sectors of the business. It's a great company. Great to work for. For more, go to careers.arthrex.com. A few weeks ago, I was able to sit down when we all got together over in the football facility with Ben Boulware. This is the last of our interviews from that day. And let me tell you something. A couple of things he said, very interesting about the linebackers as they approach camp. Here is what that sounded like.
Welcome back to Clemson Football's media gathering. William Quackenbush here with Ben Boulware, linebackers coach of the Tigers. Welcome. Great to see
Glad
you as always.
Here. Glad to be here.
It's a great day. It's a nice little
great
kickoff.
Rainy, pouring rain day, but we need the rain.
So. We need the – it's so bad,
God,
right?
We need it. So
bad. And you know, you have land. I mean, you know, some people don't have land. You have land, so you understand the – you know, it's a great day when this rain.
You
know, right?
We love it because you just – it hasn't happened in so long, and we need it so much. And I love it because all the plants and trees I've planted in our property, I'm like, thank God I don't have to water anymore today. Give me a couple of days to water them. So, yeah,
oh,
thank
man.
God for the rain.
I was going to say, because you, like, you're working full-time here, but, like, you're probably working full-time over there as much as it had rained.
It's a lot of work to keep up with the property. We have some good help that definitely helps out. But 80 acres is a lot. It is a lot.
That is quite a bit.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about summer, like anything crazy, go anywhere exciting?
Me personally?
Yeah.
The family went to Merle's Inlet. We had about 15 people, so like my siblings and my parents, all the grandkids. We got a house in Merle's Inlet. We're there for a week. And then me and my wife went to Highlands for a little day trip.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of days ago. No kids, so that was good. And then we're finishing our upstairs in our house. So between those two trips, just like housework.
So two vacations work. And then the opposite. Is
right,
what
yeah, pretty
me.
Much is work. But now that the upstairs is pretty much done, we'll get our kids upstairs. They've been sharing a room, which has been an actual nightmare. So they have their own rooms now.
For you or them?
For everybody. Yeah, for everybody. And then the new little dude will be coming in a couple weeks. So he'll be downstairs. Our boy and girl will be upstairs. We can be able to breathe a little bit. So it's really just been housework in between the trips. So it's been good, though.
That's like a nice full summer.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's been good.
But you're excited to get back here and coach a little ball in the next
for sure.
couple weeks.
Because you get into – the month is good. Obviously, you get just time away from anything. Getting a breather is obviously good for just the – human mind and the body, and then get to and be an intentional dad, spend time with your wife, go on a consistent date night is good. You get into a month of that, you know, when you're going on a trip and you do a trip that's like over 5 days, you're like, all right, I want to get back home, you
yes.
know. So it's kind of like that. It's a good break, good for everybody, but now it's time to get back rocking and rolling. So as we've been in here since yesterday. So getting back into meetings, getting back to the flow, seeing the dudes, talking ball, getting back into that rhythm has been needed.
First impressions of your linebacker group. What are you seeing? What are you hearing from them? What was that sort of on-ramp yesterday like for you?
Well, they've had a really good all season. I think D-Love's done a really good job in just challenging the guys, bringing some new methods in. Some old school methods. They've been doing some dike runs, which is
let me just stop you. The grin on your face when you said
old
school. I mean, so I need to know about the dike run, but I need to know, like, when you're hearing about the stuff that he's bringing in, your eyes are like you're literally lighting up talking about
right.
it.
Some of the old heads definitely enjoy it, bring it back to the glory days, and everything is like there's benefits to different types of training and. Some may work, some may work different bodies, but going back to like just hey, we're running freaking hills, dude. We didn't do as many hills because we had the graveyard hill,
yeah.
So we didn't. I think we only did dikes once, maybe, So we would do a bunch of, like, cemetery runs or 110s at the stadium or stadiums. I don't think they've done stadiums yet or the cemetery run, but within a lot of dikes. So that's been – that's definitely been good, been a challenge, been a different challenge. And the in the moment, the players probably don't enjoy it, but in the grand scheme of things, I think the different just – workout methods has been good. Good mix up for them. And I've always, since really I got here in 2024, tried to challenge the guys when it comes to, like, training and strength and conditioning. Man, put on that weight vest. That's just something that doesn't take talent to do. If it's a workout that's applicable to wear a weight vest, like if we're doing a 40 times 40, yeah, don't do that, stupid. But if we're doing a diet, doing a hill run, yeah, put that freaking thing on, dude. It'll just make it suck more, and a lot of other people aren't doing it, and it didn't. The Sammy Brown can wear that weight vest just like the walk-on that just got here a couple weeks ago. I think both can make the choice to intentionally wear that. So our guys have always done that. The tight ends have been doing it as well. And it's helped them just build a better engine. And we need that. We need guys that are in good shape, and we need depth. And that's what I think about the room is just I have more depth this year. I have more guys that are functional, and I can trust to go in there. There's not a massive drop-off or a gap in trust, if you will, because that's ultimately all it comes down to. Like, all these guys are talented, all of them. And you're playing at Clemson. You're one of the best football players in the country if you've been selected to come here. So the talent's all consistent across the board, but it really comes down to trust. Like, who do I trust to get the job done and run the defense and to put out there? So depth is the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to this year, and to have that, you need guys in great shape and be able to play a lot of snaps. So
who are you most excited about that's made that step to be able to give you that functional depth, or maybe it may be a list of guys that you're really excited about that's bringing that to the table now?
I mean, I would say the, like, guys that had the most consistent spring, which is all I have to go off of recently, like, because I go off of when I'm making the depth chart or dividing up snaps, I try to keep, like, feelings and outside opinions, like, out of it. And, like, what's the data show? Like, what – when I go off of the grades, and then – I would say grades and then production. Like, grades for me are the most important. Like, how are you grading out? Like, are you getting the job done? And sometimes if you get the job done, you may not have a super productive game. That's just football. Like, one of my – we played Georgia Tech my senior year, and I graded at 98%. It was, like, the highest graded game I ever played in my entire life. I had one bad play, like, one negative play, which typically, like, a winning grade historically is, like, 80%. If you are grading out 80%, typically you have a good game. My winning grade is a 90% grade. Like, if you grade out 90 and above, then I think you have a really good game, and you should be happy with that. And that game, I graded out 98%, had five tackles. And that's it. Like, no, literally just five tackles. And I was so pissed off. And I didn't let it bum me out. I was like, man, it's just, that's football sometimes. So my point is, like, I care about the grade first and then production. And then, like, the snaps are divided out with those two in mind. Then, obviously, conversations with Coach Allen as the defensive coordinator. And then collectively as a group. Like, we go over all that stuff collectively. And based on that, like, guys in the spring, Sammy, Kobe, Fletcher, and Jeremiah, those four, like, had the most consistent spring and also had the, like, combination of the most consistent grade and, like, highest production, if you will. And then everyone else is, like, super close. But if, like, those guys are grading out at 91, 92% over hundreds of plays, and then the next group would be, like, 86, 87, which is, like, very, very close. But I think those four, and then, like, CJ Cooper-Taylor had a really good spring, made a lot of growth, and then freaking got injured. And so he's almost already fully healed. And he's getting back to like he ran a 4.5, which is really which is fast. Like CJ's a big kid.
I was gonna say he's not small either.
Ooh, it's a big dude, and he popped out a 4.5 and got hurt when he was running it, and so he's been in recovery, but he's literally almost perfectly fine now. So getting him back to full steam, and everyone else, man, like. They just got to prove it. You know, they got to go in to a fall camp and earn it and grade out well and make plays, and then it'll fall how it's supposed to fall. But even with those, there's more potential for guys. We want more guys in that to play. But just off spring, those were the guys that, man, like the numbers were, like it's not in my opinion, like the numbers were just a little bit different, you know? So.
All right. So with that in mind, I think the narrative – and I think for some good reasons, the narrative out there is we need a linebacker because there was one here that wasn't here. And that's the fans, we've been talking about that since January.
Sure.
And it's been a national conversation. How have you dealt with that with your group internally, even back like in January when you guys are having to deal with like an unprecedented situation? And then how did that impact your group in the spring and continuing into the summer?
It really had no impact.
Really?
Truly, it was one conversation and we kept rocking and rolling. Had nothing to do with them. So, yeah, obviously I can't really speak on that situation. But, yeah, with the guys, like truly, it was like this. And then we, all right, kept moving.
So it was an easy,
yeah,
it was an easy transition. And then
super
like,
easy, and we got
now there's a
work.
Spot open.
Yeah,
right?
And it got back to work. So, like, if I was talking to you, I thought it was truly like, hey, this is what happened, blah, 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 and let's keep rocking and rolling. That's it.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a sign of a healthy group. And you were excited about your group last year. I know that because we sat down, we had this conversation. It's a different level, though, because I don't think you could have told me that there were four linebackers that were that far beyond when we sat down last year.
Right.
So how has that changed? How has your group grown in the last year?
Well, I just think experience and getting more snaps. And, like, I wouldn't, like, put in concrete four guys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like
that's off spring freaking football. You know, within a week of fall camp, hey, there's seven guys that I trust. You know, and that's obviously their responsibility to earn it. But, like, I think by the end of the spring or by the end of fall camp, it'll be more than that. And the margin, not error, but just, like, the difference. Like, we're talking about guys being at 91, 92% to 88%, which is very, very small. My expectation is we get in a fall camp. Like, hey, that list grows of guys that I can trust to put in the game. But, yeah, I think the list of guys growing is just comes down to experience and also being in the system for more time. You know, that was the first year of us being in Coach Allen's system last year. So then now getting another year under the belt, terminology, scheme, they're just getting more comfortable with it. So just time helps everything.
What's been the step of growth from Sammy that you've wanted to see and that you've seen so far from him?
I would say the communication aspect and the, like, challenging guys. And I'm not at every single workout, and we've obviously been on a little bit of a break, so I haven't seen it like I will in fall camp. But me and him have talked about that obviously more than we ever have, because those conversations, when it comes to communicating and leading a group and challenging a group, was really for me and Wade last year. And that happened almost every single week where, hey, man, that was a great job. Like, you did a really good job of encouraging this dude or challenging this dude. And then it was also a little bit of, hey, man, this is a really good opportunity for you to – that was a really good opportunity for you to speak up. You didn't do it. Hey, next time this happens, you need to, like, call this out or communicate. And that was, like, what a lot of me and Wade's conversations were last year, of just trying to nudge him, hey, man, this is an opportunity for you to speak up. Because a lot of those guys don't know and have never really been challenged to do that. And that's kind of now just transitioned to Sammy. And he's open to it. Wade and Sammy are obviously different, and they're both things are okay. But, like, and I would tell Wade this to his face, but, like, Wade's meathead type, like, will fight anybody, headbutt a brick wall. and that's great. Sammy Brown is biology major, yes sir, no sir, and shake your hand, tucking his shirt in, and that's great. You know, both of those things are okay. So there's just a, for me, it's my responsibility to know, like, how to communicate with each guy, and it's not going to be cookie cutter, but that's what I think he's gotten better at it, and there's still a lot of growth that needs to happen because he is just naturally – and I don't mean the sound, but he's just a nice kid. He's a really good dude. And not that Wade wasn't, but just Wade is just more meathead, you know, and that's fine. Sammy's not. And, like, Sammy Brown's probably never been in a fight in his entire life, and that's fine, you know.
Like, he's also the biggest kid, so, like, yeah,
trying to fight him, which is probably a smart decision. But that's where, like – man, I want some backers that got a little bit of edge to them. You know, like, this is stupid, but there were a couple times last year where I was, like, trying to teach these guys how to, like, talk some junk. Like, hey, man, like, y'all need to get freaking rowdy out there. Like, get in Kate's head. Like, if we're doing O versus D, man, I want to hear y'all, like, talk a little crap to the offense. And they would do it, and it was awful. And I was like, that was the worst line I've ever heard. So I was like, hey man, this is what you should say, this is what you should do.
So you're legitimately like the puppet master.
Yeah,
like,
I'm trying to get these guys to become better communicators and become more edgy. And some guys aren't just gonna be that. Like, Sammy Brown's never gonna be a guy that's gonna, like, punch someone in the face or probably cuss someone out. That's not who he is, and that's fine. Like, that's okay. That's my responsibility. My responsibility is not to make him into me or make him into Wade. My responsibility is to freaking get everything out of Sammy Brown, like, tap his freaking potential out. And he's gotten better, and he's receptive to the advice and ideas, and now we just got to keep on progressing.
So who's the meathead? Who takes Wade's spot?
Drew.
It is?
Yeah, Drew. The Woodass boys are – awesome.
They're a little bit bullwears.
They're cool dudes. Like, they're just, like, really cool dudes and super hard workers, but yeah, meathead type. So yeah, I would definitely — our thread that I communicate with the boys on is called Meathead University. So Meathead U, and everyone, all of them got a little bit of meathead in them. Drew definitely is king meathead, for sure.
I love that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jeremiah for a second, because I know last year we were talking about, we know he's got talent. How is it usable? Let's kind of just see. I know I remember talking to you and Coach Allen the same. What do you see as his role based on what you've seen from him the last year, and how has he elevated to be in that group?
He has gotten more comfortable in the defense. He has really transformed his body. He's naturally a heavier guy, which is fine, but I want guys that are lean. I think, not done of the days, the majority of backers nowadays, at least in our league, are not going to be 235 plus. You get some, that's fine, because they're just bigger guys, but I like guys that are 225, like in the 20 to 30 range. Jeremiah's naturally a heavier dude, and like 238, but rocked up, like six-pack, really leaned out. He's naturally a big dude, just freaking for whatever reason. So he's done a really good job of transforming his body fat and becoming as lean as he possibly can, because I want dudes that are in really good shape and are lean and vascular. I don't want the freaking beefcakes that look like me. So he's done a really good job of that. And then I've challenged him with this, like, straight line speed. Hey man, if you're 240 plus, like, you're not gonna be the fastest guy in the world, so you need to lean out. That's one of the things I did my junior year. I played the Natty out in Phoenix, Arizona, in 15, and I played that game like 258, 260. Big boy. I was hurt too, so I couldn't work out a lot. I was dealing with a shoulder injury, so I didn't naturally get fat. So I got really heavy that game. And then going into my senior year, I'm like, obviously one of the things I struggle with is straight line speed. So I was I need to cut weight. So I went down to, from playing roughly my junior year at like 250, 255. I was really heavy the natty game. And then played the entire junior, my senior season, 230. Just so I can be as lean as fast as I possibly can. So I've challenged him with that. And then he's always been super talented from a pass rush standpoint because he's played a lot in the line. And so we're obviously trying to use him in those situations a lot. And I'm trying to get him better at just box feel, like being off the ball. And he got a lot better at that last year. But when it comes to run fits, feeling the game, path of the running back, personnel, I think that's where he's gotten the made the most improvement over the spring to now. It's just become more comfortable as an off-the-ball backer. And that takes time. You know, when you've played edge in your entire life, like that's a transition, you know. So he had a really good spring, and yeah, he'll be competing to be one of the guys that runs out there first. And that's their responsibility to earn that, not mine.
Great stuff, man. This has been great. We could do an hour podcast, I think.
For sure.
Because I got so many more questions we'll have to address another time.
Cool.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
The countdown is on.
Is on.
29 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices. Love the saving.
Watson in shotgun. Takes the shotgun snap. Play action. Wants to throw. Going long. Look for Mike Williams. Up he goes the ladder and makes the grab at the Alabama 31.
105.5.
97.5.
The Roar.
The Roar. Where every
heard.
Idiot.
Listen to Out of Bounds. Monday through Friday.
Right here on The Roar.
Thanks to Ben Bulwer for joining us. Great stuff.
That was abrupt.
It was. Hour three continues. I have an update on this Bill situation. And can I just tell you, this is why we can't trust Congress for anything. All we needed was the freedom to make some rules. Just give us some protection, Congress. That's all we needed. We didn't really want to go into conference expansion. We didn't really want to go into salary caps. We didn't really need Congress to mandate. All we really needed and all reasonable people wanted is for Congress to give some leeway to the NCAA and to the conferences and the schools to just like make some rules. Just allow them to make some rules so that the lawfare that has absolutely ruined our lives as sports fans, that it would go away. This is from something named Burgess Everett. He used to write for Politico. Senior Congressional Bureau Chief, former Politico, okay? So he essentially just hangs out in the Capitol, and here's what he hears. Okay, he's like Littlefinger in Game of Thrones. Here's what this tweet says. This is from like an hour and a half ago. New. A bunch of Republicans have holds on the college sports bill. Could kick it to September after the season started. Because what I want to be talking about on September the 10th is not the games coming up. It's whether this bill passes or not. I think everything in the world should revolve around our broadcast schedule, and that's what Congress should vote on. Senator Kennedy, who I kind of like. I like Senator Kennedy. He's got a million one-liners. They're great. Senator Kennedy says he's one of them. Listen to this one. You think this bill's gotten dumped with stuff? He says he's weighing whether to offer an amendment that would cap ticket price increases at 4% annually.
Okay, now we're getting a little bit out of hand here.
Why can't we just have a skinny bill? We just need this very simple little skinny bill that just gives the people in charge a chance to do what it is they need to do. And instead, we now have Congress putting amendments in about ticket price increases. This is why you can't trust Congress to do anything.
Yeah, so we ask them to do one thing, and you're trying to convince me that they're overreaching now? No. Say it ain't so.
This is what happens. This is the Senator Kennedy line, okay? You're going to like this one, Ben. He also wants to, quote, I can't believe I'm going to read this on the air. Make sure that this legislation doesn't either intentionally or unintentionally absolve the NCAA, which lacks testicles and a spine. He hit them with both. You have no testicles or spine. He wanted to make sure that it was as hurtful as possible, and he couldn't decide which one to accuse the NCAA of lacking. So instead he says, you know what? You have neither testicles nor a spine. I think he called the NCAA a woman with scoliosis. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. He says, I want to make sure that this legislation doesn't, either intentionally or unintentionally, absolve the NCAA, which lacks testicles and a spine, of any liability. That's what he said.
God bless that man.
I mean, I watched a cut up the other day. I think it was on a bus going somewhere. I watched like 5 minutes of Senator John Kennedy just on newscasts. Like, you know, being in Congress is like going to a chiropractor, and he just goes into whatever. The guy's doing legitimate, like, stand-up comedy in very serious news segments and on the floor of the Senate, and I'm here for it. Texter said he ain't lying.
No.
I'm a fan, but they lack neither testicles and a spine. I'm sorry. Basically, we want to make sure everyone knows what they don't have at the end of this. And also, the ticket prices can't increase more than 4%. So that's where we are. I don't know.
Hey, if we're going to start capping stuff, how about grocery prices? Can we just gas prices?
Yes.
I mean, I'm all for capping, you know, more affordable ticket prices, but that's not really what you're tasked to do here.
Then, on a lighter note, a better note, Tammy from
Seneca.
Oh, that
was pretty light.
Tammy from Seneca said, did he end with D's nuts?
Oh, my God.
Texter from the 864 says, by my count, testicles was just said 7 times in under 5 minutes. Oh, Lord. When we come back, my impression of John Kennedy talking about other parts of the body. I just.
Speaking of, we do have a WNBA update. On the other side.
I give up, man. I give up totally. Oh, my goodness. Final segment of the program is next.
If you're online, you've got the Roar at your fingertips. From a beach in Valley to the Rocky Mountains, you don't have to miss a minute. You can catch your favorite show streaming live on the Roar app or at theroarfm.com at any time.
This is the most professional transition ever. One Tom Plumber. Call the plumber whose name is his number. That's One Tom Plumber. These folks, Clemson grads owned and operated, they do a great job across the state, but they've got locations in the upstate. Because they know that when your plumbing goes awry, you need somebody who responds right now. You need somebody to get out there as quickly as possible. That's why they have the 24-hour same-day service guarantee. That is just crazy to offer in the industry, but they do it. They back it up, sending people with that pink plunger logo all over the upstate. I've talked about they've done preventive stuff for me as well. I know they've helped folks in a crisis that I know personally that had a real bad plumbing issue. Called one time, got it fixed. These are great, great folks. They're well-trained and skilled plumbers. Call the plumber's name is his number. That's One Tom Plumber.
Loud, loyal, and locked in. The home for Clemson sports fans.
The crisp fall air, the roar of Death Valley, and the Sea of Orange. It's Clemson football season. Get game day ready at the Tiger Sports Shop, your official headquarters, for everything Clemson, from Nike sideline styles to exclusive Lululemon gear. We've got the looks true fans wear with pride. Visit either one of our two convenient Clemson locations, Tiger Boulevard and College Avenue, or shop online anytime at tigersports.com. The Tiger Sports Shop, where every Clemson fan shops and traditions begin.
Need portable toilets for your construction sites or next event?
Call 864-238-8800.
Yes, Royal Flush Toilet Rental is your answer when it comes to emergency rentals, festivals, wedding, or backyard parties.
Call 864-238-8800.
Remember, if you're in upstate South Carolina, Royal Flush Toilet Rental is locally owned, dependable, and your local portable toilet company.
Call 864-238-8800.
From the folks who brought you Longview, Carolina, discover their newest offering, Falls Park at Kiawe, offering convenient lake access to Kiawe and Jocassee, along with legacy lots starting in the low 100s and heritage lots in the mid 250s. Falls Park at Kiawe brings you scenic living in a breathtaking environment. Mountain and water view falls, lake living, unlike anything the upstate has had in past years. Place your reservation and find out more today at fallsparkatkiawe.com.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple: the highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
When productivity matters, professionals trust Wright. Available at Landscaper Supply, Wright stand-on mowers are designed for speed, maneuverability, and all-day comfort, helping crews get more done in less time. From residential properties to large commercial jobs, Wright delivers the performance landscapers depend on every day. With 8 locations across South Carolina and Georgia, Landscaper Supply keeps you equipped and ready for the season ahead. Wright mowers, built for serious productivity.
Whether it's the elegant lines of your interior trim or the curb appeal of your exterior, your home deserves a master's touch. Owned and operated by two Clemson engineers, Painter One of the Upstate specializes in precision property transformations. They believe in total transparency, providing you with daily updates to ensure their work meets your standard. If you're ready to fall in love with your home again, call 864-668-6899 or visit PainterOne.com/upstate. Painter One. Renew your space. Renew your life.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit TigerMovingGreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
Hi, I'm Ashley Moore, co-owner of Poppington's Gourmet Popcorn. Summer is here, and every cookout, pool day, and road trip deserves a better snack option. Poppington's is popped fresh in Greenville using real beef tallow from our family farm, never seed oils, for a rich flavor and perfect crunch you can feel good about. Find us in downtown Greenville at all AMPM Farms Butchery and Market locations, or order online at poppingtons.com. Poppington's Gourmet Popcorn, proudly owned, proudly popped.
Out of Bounds, where no stat is left untouched.
Nerd alert!
If you want to geek out about sports,
join Qualk and Van from noon to 3 p.m. every day right here on The Roar,
where the upstate sounds off.
Last segment of the show, last segment of the week. We've got Qualk back. We got football camp started. We got congressmen trying to do something to sports. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Remember our college football kickoff show, August 27th. It will be here in beautiful Easley, South Carolina at Southern Weaving Food Hall. We mentioned that earlier today. Had a texter just a moment ago ask us about this during the break. 5 to 8, Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley on August 27th. I mentioned that earlier, Southern Weaving Food Hall, and we immediately got a dozen texts about how awesome that place is. It really is. You folks are going to love this place, and as important, you're going to love the show that we're going to do for you. Going to try to mix things up a little bit, involve you a little more, T-shirts, all kind of good things going on that day. So make plans now. I want to fill that place up. I want to see you out there. August 27th, Southern Weaving Food Hall.
This is the pull quote for the show, and you don't need any context to this one from the 864. It says, when y'all go stupid, you're hard to beat on the radio. That could go for anything, Ben. Well,
thank you. It's the nicest thing you've ever said to us.
All right. Several things before we shut it down. We have to say, I saw this video during the break. You know, Go ahead.
After the comment I made at the end of the last segment, you have to mention the WNBA story now,
yeah.
Or that sounds yes. Like a horrible statement.
Yes. So, as you know, every single night in the WNBA, they play basketball, and also every player has to comment on every social issue that anyone has said anything on that entire day. That is a prerequisite in the WNBA. You know the Barry accounts, at Barry on here? You know I'm talking about Barry on here. I thought this was hilarious yesterday. He said, inexcusable loss tonight for the Indiana Fever, but not as inexcusable as Caitlin Clark's silence about the Tulsa race massacre of 1921. And, like, that's hilarious. But honest to God, why haven't they asked her about it? Every single WNBA player has been asked about Sophie Cunningham's statement 73 times. Every night, somebody has something to say about who gets to play sports. So you know what happened today? Enos Kanter Freedom, who used to be Enos Kanter when he was the slowest moving person in the United States besides William Quackenbush, playing on really good Oklahoma City team, like he was a really good pro. Changed his name to Enos Kanter Freedom. He spoke out about political oppression in his homeland of Turkey and all this stuff. He has said that he has studied the WNBA's policy, and he says that he has filed for entry to the WNBA draft. I don't know anything about that at all, except that's what he said, Ben.
Oh, let's make that happen. the trans person playing in France right now.
Oh, yes.
You've seen him, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's make that happen tomorrow. Clay Travis is a bit of a nut. I'm not going to say otherwise. And there's a whole lot about him that I don't agree with. I think his approach to this might actually work now, and that is, number one, he has said he will pay. He can pick. Let him pick a high school men's, a boys' high school championship basketball team and play any WNBA team, and the winner get he'll if the WNBA team wins, he'll pay him $10 million. Whether or not they would or wouldn't, I don't care about that. But he also says he wants to start a WNBA team, and he's going to sign all trans.
And see what happens. I think they should. Let's see how dedicated to inclusion everybody is when it's at your shores. I just think it's hilarious that every athlete is getting asked about social issues after every game now.
That one that you read, that's funny.
I mean, that's just hilarious. Caitlin Clark, inexcusable performance tonight, but not as excusable as her silence on the race massacre in Tulsa in 1921.
I know. Olivia Miles, could you please comment on the price of gasoline?
Crude oil,
please.
It's literally the only sports league in the world where people show up to the press conference to ask only about social issues, not about the game at all. Could you imagine if MLB players are being asked about social issues every day?
Yeah. Texture wants to know what makes Clay Travis a nut. Nut is not was not the right phrase. I think he could get a little more accomplished by going about what he's trying to do differently. Maybe not so abrasively. I agree with what he's trying to do. Maybe I disagree with how he goes about it. That's nut. Nut is not really the word I should have used there.
Yeah, tactically, it's not my style.
Yeah.
Not my style. All right, a couple other things. I do have an update from Ross Dellinger on the Protect College Sports Act. There are 10 holds or objections on a request to expedite the vote on the Protect College Sports Act. Sports Act, and 8 more holds on the bill itself. So we still have a little ways to go. They're not voting on it today, folks. I'd be mortally shocked. All right, a couple other things. We talked about Braves Yankees big series this weekend for the Braves. I think they're going to get walloped tonight. I told you, I think Tyler Mahle sucks and is terrible. And it's going to rip every ligament in his elbow at any moment.
Max Fried on for the Yankees tonight. I tend to agree with you. The win streak most likely will end tonight. Doesn't help that they had a long rain delay last night, so you don't even know what time they get to New York. Rough night. Travel night is a bad time to have a rain delay. Despite that, this is probably a Yankees game. If you could figure out a way to win this series, though, that would be huge. That'd be huge. Braves hitting the ball really well, and they're hitting the ball pretty well since Ronald Acuna came back. I mean, the first couple of games were rough, but it's not as much him as it's the fact that you can put other players now in this position they need to be in the order.
I totally agree with that. There is a comfort level with everybody else when he slots into the top, and then you just sort of let everybody fall in place. He may get hurt again. He may. But I'm telling you, I think what the Braves get with Acuna, even in theory, if it's not because he's pitched too differently, he's going to get on base a lot, he's pitched too differently than everybody else, and like you said, it slots everybody in. I just need to give you another stat too, Ben. Here are since the Braves gave up 14 to the Mets on July 27th, here are the total runs in every game since then that the Braves have allowed. 3-0-4-2-3-2-2-1-3. They have allowed more than 3 runs one time in the last week and a half. And I would argue their pitching staff is better now than it was then, even with Mahle. Their pitching staff is better now than it has been.
SEC haters. Guaranteed no hitter for Mahle tonight.
Nope. Nope. Hey, listen. Mark the tape. Mally's getting his butt beat tonight, okay? He pitched in Yankee Stadium once a couple years ago. He gave up 4 runs, 2 homers. It ain't going to go well. I'm just telling you. Now, I don't know about Max Fried, because here's the thing. Might be a little emotional for Max Fried. He's never faced the Braves as a starting pitcher. He's never done that. Now, he's pitched pretty well. He got lit up by Milwaukee one time, but he's pitched pretty well when he's been healthy this year, and this is his 4th start since he came off the injured list. Braves have won 8 in a row. Yankees, you know, if you're looking ahead in this series, the Yankees, they've not won back-to-back games in a while. When the last time they won back-to-back games? July 27th to 28th. They're in a little bit of a slide. This is random. By the way, I should note, you'll be able to hear this on the Roar tonight and throughout the weekend, Braves baseball. Have you seen the reporting on the, we hadn't talked about this at all on the air, the Boston College radio crew that got, I don't want to say fired. They were not rehired after months of asking if they were.
I would say fired. Yeah, yeah. I would say fired.
And
the, we have an email group of everybody that's on the air in the ACC, and they sent out an email to all of us with some details of that, and it's a shame.
I've said this. There are two things that have come out that I think give some more clarity on this. No one has said this. Eric Collins, who's in that group, tweeted out essentially questioning the wisdom. I don't even know if he was questioning as much as just asking like a rhetorical question, essentially, of hiring Luke Murray in the first place.
Yeah, we need to mention what we're talking about here. Luke Murray, the new basketball coach at Boston College, Bill Murray's son, reportedly told the school he did not want any connection with anyone from the previous staff, and fired the radio crew, never met them, never knew anything about them, just said he did not want them as part of his crew, didn't have any, those guys, if they are to be believed, and I have no reason not to, had never met him, had no connection, no possibility for bad blood, had not tweeted anything, said anything, etc. And the school obliged. One of those guys even asked if he could step back and help with their engineering needs in an off-the-air role, in an off-the-mic role, and he did not, Luke Murray, according to them, would not even allow that. So if that's true, I would be a little concerned about the mental fortitude of Luke Murray.
Has neither testicles nor spine? Is that what you're... Is
that what you know, I wasn't going to say that.
Whether you believe the story that has now come out where Boston College essentially is like, it's all on us, but only after the story came out, whether you believe that version or the one where Luke Murray was the one pulling the strings, the reality is that these guys were trying to meet with the basketball coach for 3 months, and if you wanted to get rid of them, you should have just done it. Like, that would not be unprecedented to make a change in the radio booth when a coaching change happens and an AD change happens. There could be 100 reasons why you want to do that. The way Boston College handled this was, frankly, shameful. It was handled horribly by Boston College. And they should be ashamed of what they've done. And there is some reporting now that's taken some of the heat off of Murray himself and honestly spreading it out across the Boston College Athletic Department. And I'm okay with that. Because it does feel like Boston College Athletic Department either didn't care at all about this or had their own beef with the guys. But either way, it's not fun. To the point that we were talking about it on the trip to Italy. People were asking me about it because word was getting around the basketball staff there. It should be a fun weekend. I'm excited. I'm going to try to get back on the Eastern time zone. I woke up at 5 this morning, like wide awake, and that never happened. So I know I'm not quite back, but I appreciate all the feedback that many of you sent on the basketball broadcast, and even yesterday while I was on the plane. So thank you for that. Appreciate everybody that listened there. All right, that's going to do it for us. Ben, enjoy your weekend. God bless. Walt's up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
When the line goes down, minutes matter. Industrial Motor Service has your back with expert motor, pump, and gearbox service.